group.
Hallelujah. It's in such unity. But Father, bring us all into unity of the Word of God. Hallelujah today. And Father, may we be blessed by the time the Holy Ghost is through with it, what He has to say in Jesus' name. Let every ear be anointed to hear, and let my lips be anointed to speak. And Father, between the two, much can be accomplished in the heart of people in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the authority that a believer has. We covered the different aspects of the word for power in the Bible. And one thing about the Greek language is it puts its emphasis on what power that he's referring to. And if you've noticed that last week, one thing that I brought out was the different meanings of the different words for power. And what I thought was very interesting is that one word for power is dunamis. This is called achieving ability. Now, whether we realize it or not, every one of us possess that power. The achieving ability to serve the kingdom of God. Regardless of where you're at today, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you've been through, I just want to share this real quick. Like, do you know that all things are naked and open in the sight of God, to whom we have something to do with Him about things? You know, that's biblical, Hebrews. Well, did you know God is not caught off guard with the dilemmas that you find yourself caught off guard and are in? Praise God. Thank God He's not. But you know, sometimes we have a history of failure. Sometimes we have a history of success, but we also have a history of failure. And a lot of times what we do is, with the history of failure, we form an opinion of ourselves, and then we begin to condemn ourselves and get to a place where we think God doesn't really care. God always cares. God cares about you. God knows what you're going through. God knows the mistakes that you've made. God knows the mistakes I've made. Praise God. But you know, God doesn't give up. You know, one thing you've got to realize, that when God said, you know, take care of the things for today, for tomorrow the evil will take care of itself. You know, you could depend on evil being there tomorrow. You know what I mean? But you know, I've found that if you focus in on succeeding today, it eliminates a lot of evil that could be in our life tomorrow. You know, so you have to learn how to live with God on a daily basis. Amen. Why? Well, because He is familiar with you as an individual. But the thing God's seeking to get into your life in such a way that He can release His ability in you, so that you can then channel His authority into this realm, this natural earth. And you know, nothing saddens me more than believers waiting on God to do something they already have. You know, that's the deception to understanding faith. Faith is now. Faith is not something that's going to be. It's now. Where is it now? Well, the Bible says faith that is now is in your heart and in your mouth. You know, a lot of people don't realize that your mouth is the channel through which your authority is released concerning the kingdom of God. Christians all the time make this statement, I'm waiting for my healing. And God's up there waiting to act on your authority and your rights for the healing. See, there's a difference. One produces life and the other produces death. When a Christian's waiting on God, rather than him taking his rights and privileges to the kingdom of God, he will die waiting on God. Why? Because the authority has been delegated to you in the earth to do something about it. Now, the words for power is very interesting. There's only one word for that word power that you inherit, and it's dunamis. That is the only thing you inherit. But along with the inheriting of the achieving ability of God comes the rights and privileges that follow that dunamis. And there's where the other words come in to play. You see, God watches over His word, notice this, to perform it. You know, a lot of times in our mind we seem to think God's got to do it before it's done. God will perform His word as the authority is released in the earth. Now, the Old Testament was different than the New Testament. The Old Testament believers were different than the New Testament. But those that sought God with their whole heart doesn't actually seem any different than a New Testament believer. God backed them as an example to back us. But you know, He backs us with a greater fervency than He did out of the Old Testament. He backs His word now because we're now sons and daughters in the kingdom. We're not servants and slaves. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, there are three things, and what I'm going to talk about today is what qualifies us to act on behalf of our Father's authority in the earth. What qualifies this? You know, I don't have a problem knowing my rights. I have a problem, how do I release them? You know, how many of you, you know that you have a right to do something to do it, but you just don't know how to do it? You know, have you ever heard that? Well, I know to do, I just, somehow I'm just not doing it. Because there are three things that the Bible is very clear that you have to understand to release or to act on delegated authority that is given to you. Are you following me? Okay. It's one thing for you to have the dunamis, but it's another thing for you to release it. Well, one of the tools to release it's your mouth. That is how you release your faith. But I'm not talking about mere lip service. I'm talking about releasing the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema, the spoken word of God. And you know what Christians do? If I just say it enough, I'll believe it. Well, there's an element of truth there. But really, faith is a revelation in the heart. And then after it's revealed in the heart, it's released with the mouth. See? Because Christians can release head knowledge. That won't do you any good. But when you release heart knowledge, that'll do you some good. There is a difference. Did you know faith is believing in the heart and saying with your mouth? It is not saying with your mouth till you believe in your heart. You believe in your heart, then you say with your mouth. You see? Well, what is my problem then? The problem is getting the authority of God out through the soul, the carnal mind. There's the problem. We got to know how to do that. Well, God has designed a way for you to release His authority if He's given you the achieving ability. That means then if He's given you the ability to release His power, then He must have a way to channel it out into this realm. Can I hear a healthy amen? Okay, praise God. There are three things. Number one, write these down. This is bottom line Bible. This is bottom line Bible. This is the authority is the Word of God, rightly divided. Okay? Number one, you must maintain a consistent fellowship with your Father. We must maintain His... A person must maintain his fellowship with God. This is how God reveals Himself to man. It's through fellowship. It's through fellowship. Now, I'd say almost 100% of the Christian world knows what 1 John 3:8 is. Matter of fact, let's turn over there. I'd say 100% of the world knows what 1 John 3:8 is. Here it is. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now, you know something? I want you to notice. He that, in the Greek, it's what we call in continuous action. It literally means one who is constantly or in a perpetual continuing state of missing the mark is the one who's literally what? Not understanding the purpose why the Son of God was manifested to them. Did you know in the Old Testament they had just shadow to work with? But New Testament, we don't have a shadow, we have the person that casts it. Are you following what I'm saying? We're not dealing with shadows. We're dealing with a reality of a person that manifested. Now, I want you to notice it says, for this purpose. What? To stop believers to habitually or continually miss the mark with God. And in this point, this verse, in the Christian mind, was put into a book which its main theme is fellowship with God and with your neighbor. How many of you follow what I'm saying? That's why that verse was put there and no other place. Now, the word destroy there, that he might destroy the works of the devil, that's what gets deceiving, because the word destroy literally is not referring to annihilating something. It's referring to luo, which means to unravel or untie a person's walk. Did you know that I can't walk too well if my legs are tied together? But if my legs are freed up, then my walk is free. Praise God. I can go and do and walk and go someplace where I've never been before if the works of the devil, his darkness, is unraveled in my life. Hallelujah. So I don't continually miss the mark walking with my Lord. But it's predicated on the fact that he was manifested. Now the church, 100% of the church knows that Jesus was manifested. But the trick is, the church is void of understanding how to unravel the works of his darkness in their life so they don't continually miss the mark with God. Hallelujah. I'm already preaching myself happy. So the first thing is that you have to maintain a fellowship with God. That's how Jude said those that were born again died spiritually again. It's because they got out of fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Now, when you fellowship with God through the agency of the Holy Spirit, that's fellowship. That is not relationship. Boy, I read it in books. I hear it on tapes. I hear it on CDs. They always use the word relationship rather than the word fellowship. There is a difference between the two. You know what a relationship is? What two people have in common. You know what that can be? You know what that can be? Anything. Well, in Bible sense, relationship is to be born of God. That's family. That's family. Do you know that? That's family. To be born of God is family. Say it real loud, Steve. Amen. That's the voice of God speaking. That's relationship. What is fellowship? It's when two fellows are in the same ship. Fellowship is communication. Fellowship is communication. Fellowship is communication. Ask your wife. Isn't it communication, Sue, fellowship? Sue and I have a relationship. What? We're both married to the same persons. We are. I'm married to her. She's married to me. But you don't mean a hill of beans if we don't have no fellowship to go with it. Why? Because when we fellowship, we bond together. Say. A marriage that's on the downfall is when communication ceases. Zoom. It's going right down the tube. But when communication is maintained, things get worked out, whether it's for the good or for the bad. You know what I mean? But things, something about communication creates action. How many of you know that? When you communicate, it creates action. That's right. How's a person going to know that you did something wrong unless you tell them? And then when you tell them you did something wrong, how many of you agree that action takes place? I just use that for an example. Hallelujah. Well, when you're in fellowship with God, then God's able to do something in your life. He is able to communicate with you as you communicate back with Him. And as a result of that, a purging process begins. It really does. That's how a person's purged. You know, I thought it was very interesting. Well, I don't want to go there. It involves too much something else. Now, turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And let's go to verse 9. We're talking about this fellowship. Now, I was taught that this prayer doesn't belong to a New Testament believer. I'm going to share something with you about Jesus when he came to the earth. Jesus came to the earth and he did two things. Number one, he came to fulfill Old Testament. Why? No one was capable of doing it because no one was born of God. So he had to come to fulfill Old Testament. And in fulfilling Old Testament, the things that came out of Jesus' mouth is he gave discernment for what was right and what was wrong out of the Old Testament. He gave identity to what is right and what is wrong. But his teaching was never to expound on Old Testament principles. His teaching always leaned towards New Testament concept. What was to come? Because no one had lived what he wanted to expound on. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you look at the Lord's Prayer, in spite of what ministers have told you in the past, when they say this is not a prayer for a New Testament believer, nothing could be further from the truth. He was teaching, communicating with God in such a way that you would get success with your Father, period, over and out. Now, this principle of this prayer really locked a lot of people up when Jesus gave it because of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. Because they would say one thing and do another. Are you following me? They would lead people into a deception. They were blind guides, what Jesus called them, because they didn't know the heart of God. So when Jesus taught in the Synoptic Gospels, he was literally expounding on New Testament principles that's to come. But they could only be carried out through a heart that had been born of God, not man. You guys following me so far? Now, notice what he says here in verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. Right there, that locked a lot of the Jews up because he used the term Father. They said that their father was Abraham, that God was God. Do you know the further that you go into God, the more he becomes a father? You see. Now, I want you to catch something here. After this manner, communicate to your Father, which is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that interesting? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, when I first got a glimpse of that in the original tongue, it shocked me. It literally shocked me. Because this is a declarative statement that if you communicate to your Father in such a way that's accepted by Him, His will be done, notice, not in the third heaven, here, where we're at. Now, the problem with so many of us that we run into is the fact that our life can either be graceful or full of hell. And a lot of believers, when they don't understand what hell can do for you on planet Earth, a lot of times it affects our heart and our attitude, not only with God, but with our neighbor. Because we've been through things that even our neighbor don't understand. But we can have fellowship with God because we always know within our heart God understands, but a lot of times we don't know whether our neighbor understands or not. I got news for you. God can get into your heart in such a way that you also, as somebody else's neighbor, you can reach back to them and get them also into a place where they can trust you the same as they can trust God. Are you following what I'm saying? You need one another. That's why Christians that don't need family ties, I question their growth spiritually, because the more you grow in God, the more you become like Him. The more the fruitful works of darkness is loosed around you, and the more you love Christians unreservedly. Are you following me? But here's the key. Notice this verse. There's a word that's never really expounded on, is the word hallowed. The word hallowed. Now, this is a very interesting word. It's hagiadzo. 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 Which comes off the word hagios. Well, the word hagios literally means that which cleanses, cleans a person. It comes off the root word hagia, that which cleans you. So when he says after this manner, when you communicate to your Father, which is in heaven, the first thing you have to do is you have to do something with your Father. You have to put him into a position in your life in a unique way. And you know what it's called? Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Now, if it comes off the Greek word to cleanse or clean, what does it mean when it's used as hagiadzo? Hagiadzo. It literally means, it signifies to set apart for God, to sanctify, to make a person or thing the opposite of common. The opposite of common. When you want to release the authority of God in your life into this realm, God cannot be a mere common tradition to your life. He has to be special in your life. He has to be set apart in your life so that whatever you do, He's the center focus of what you're going to do. And that's the way, same way, you have to pray to Him. You guys understand what I'm talking about? Most of us go into our prayer closet, hey, how are you today, God? I'm doing my duty. I'm supposed to talk to you. I'm praying. I'll be in here 2 hours. About 2 hours up. Thank you, God. You pull that with my wife, and ain't going to be much communication. I assume I'm here today. I'm talking to you because that's my duty. I've got to talk to you because why? You're married to me. I'm married to you. And we're supposed to communicate. How are you doing today? No feeling. I could care less. She knows it. What kind of communication is that? This word, this Greek word literally means to set apart for the whole purpose of Him to speak back into your life, to purge. The problem with us is we run into our prayer closet. You have no idea what I'm putting up with. You have no idea these people. You have no idea the one I'm married to. You have no idea this, and you have no idea of that. You know what? You can miss the mark with God so far that you won't even pray. Why? Because He might talk back. Some people don't pray because they like the attitude of their heart. They want to hang on to the thing. Well, let me ask you something. If that's the case, how is His will going to be done on earth in your life? Some of us seem to think just because we're born of God and we're His kid, we can do anything we want, and then when we run to God, God's going to do something for us. You know what that's called when parents do that with their children? The Bible expresses it's called hatred. Because you see, when you don't discipline a child will be bound to his own ways. The key is punishment is different than discipline. Most parents punish and they think they get control rather than to discipline for control. There's a difference. Children have to be taught. They have to be trained. And mostly through the senses. If their hand wants to steal, sometimes we have to discipline them through the senses by slapping their hand. Let them know your little hand went where it shouldn't. Why? Well, the Bible says we as adults, when our eye or our hand offended, cut it off. He didn't want to talk about literal. He's talking about what can bring an offense to somebody else. You cut it off. Cut it out of your life. Same thing. Same principle. Are you guys getting something here this morning? Praise God. Do you know what? Did you know to grow spiritually, you have to cultivate the kingdom of God in your heart. It's an act of divine purpose to choose to do that. Most Christians, they want to be church, and they want to give God time when they can, And yet they're deader than a hammer when they leave. That's why Christians can get caught off guard and the devil can come in and they don't know how to unravel the works of darkness that has gotten in around their walk. And they don't know how to cut it loose. Why? Well, you don't have enough rhema in you to let the sword of the Spirit, which was prophesied, let that sword come out of you and to come against the works of the darkness of this world. I love it when it says he only has flaming guided missiles. That comes from an old concept of arrows that are put on fire and shot at a distance. I like what we got. We got a sword. That means we're supposed to have the attitude of doing some hand-to-hand combat with that guy. Well, you ain't going to do it out of fellowship with him. Why? When you break fellowship with God, you lose all concept of self-achievement and victory in your life. Condemnation sets into you, and the next thing you know, the devil beats you over the head with your mistakes. Yeah. And you know what? That's not enough that other believers can do that to you. What about you doing it to yourself at the same time? You got double hammer whammers going. Now, how are you going to get the victory over the devil with that? I'll show you a Christian that'll attack the devil out of fellowship. I wonder if I should be doing this. Get, devil, get. Yeah. No. Okay. You know, being in fellowship with God creates a boldness in you. You can even be obnoxious when you're in fellowship with God. Well, let your obnoxiousness go out on Him. Amen. Condemnation will destroy a person's ability to release the authority of God in this earth. When you go and scream at the devil and he screams back louder than you do and you run, there's a problem here. Why? Because you're not meeting the devil in your own strength anyway. Well then, what's this running got to do with it? Because you're meeting him in your strength. Now notice this. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Is not in any Greek text. So that was added by translators. It should be ending right there. Deliver us from evil. Actually, in the Greek, this verse says, "And you deliver us from evil." He doesn't lead you into it. He delivers you from it. See. Thank God for the Greek language. Understanding that. Because there's reasons for understanding the Greek language. More for a pastor than the layperson, you know. But there's some significant things that are taught in Matthew 6 here about the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to take note of that. From verse 9 down to verse 16, literally, whether you realize it or not, there's this theme that is carried through about this prayer clear up to chapter 8. Verse 1. That is all expounding on the Lord's Prayer. And see, this is what's not taught in the church. And the center focus of the expounding of this prayer is predicated on the fact of how much fellowship you're having with the Lord on a daily basis. Well, how do I know that? Well, he covers things like take no thought for what you're going to wear, eat, and all that. There's what we call a trusting in God to supply daily. Give us this day our daily bread. So there's an area that Jesus teaches about the Lord's Prayer there, about staying out of anxiety and trusting in God to meet your needs. But then he says, "For you deliver us from evil." And so he expounds more on prayer. "But I say unto you..." let me get over here. But he says... he says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth." This is in chapter 7, verse 7, 8. "Or what manner of son, would he ask for bread, will he give him a stone?" Would he give him judgment? Because the stone was referring to the Judaic system of bringing judgment on somebody. They'd stone him to death. Are you following me? Now, this is about prayer. He's saying, when you ask, God's going to be far greater than a natural friend in earth. He'll see to it you get what you're asking for. Are you following me? But I want you to notice that, will he give him a stone? Well, he's not going to give you a stone providing you're not throwing him. Because he says, judge not that you be not judged. You see, a lot of people want to go to God and ask God for something, but the problem is their fellowship is perverted with God. They're doing more complaining, they're doing more judging, they're throwing things, rather than letting God get into their heart and life and sanctifying the Lord in their heart and life and purging them. You don't have a free ticket to operate in the authority of the kingdom of God unless you abide by the authority of the kingdom of God. How many ever watched that program, Badge of Dishonor? This is where policemen go bad. And they've actually killed people because people trusted in that policeman. Well, it brought a dishonor to the police department that hired the dude. Why? Because he didn't handle his authority properly. Well, God's no different than natural man. He wants you to handle your authority in dignity and honor and integrity of the Spirit. And that's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. He tells you how He can deliver you daily from evil things that begin to come. But you have to have your heart right with Him in order to do that. Well, if you have no fellowship with Him, there ain't no issue of the heart. Why? Because God ain't dealing with your heart. Why? You're not talking to Him. It's just like living in a house with the same person, never communicating with them. Nothing gets straightened out. Nothing gets worked out. You just keep walking in your same mistakes, do your same thoughts until you're divided and it's over. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, if He's strengthening you. But if you're doing it in your own strength, brother, you got problems. Gee, I swung the sword at the devil. Why did he duck and come at me and stab me? Because there's a kink in your armor. You know, everybody says, suit up in the armor. Let's suit up in the armor before we pray. Everybody slides on this all this armor. Listen, you don't communicate with God by an outward suit. You communicate with God by an inward suiting up. Because all that stuff that he's talking about is what's in the heart. You ain't going to, after having done all, to stand against the wall that his devil stand there for. Well, in the Greek, it's worded a little differently. Did you know that there? It's actually, in the Greek, it says, after obtaining all victories. After obtaining all victories. It's not talking about some guy standing there dormant and just saying, you ain't going to have this ground I got my feet on, devil. Shoo! Nero goes into the guy. Shoo, 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 shoo. I don't care how many arrows I got in me. I'm standing. It's not what that's referring to. It's referring to a man who has attacked the enemy with the sword of the Spirit and moved him out of a certain territorial position and stood in it. And after obtaining that victory, he's ready for the devil to come on because he's got another victory in store. I'm going to tell you something. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, you can't do that without including your neighbor and yourself. If you're condemned of yourself, you're going to condemn your neighbor, and you're not going to be in a right position with God. You've got to love your neighbor just as much as you love God. Why? It says with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. What part would you leave out with your neighbor? The heart. Song said the heart. I'm going to deal with you later for him. Okay, number two, the father must have the ability to judge a man's heart freely to clear his conscience. When you don't have a clear conscience, you cannot have faith towards God. And in order to have a clear conscience, God has got to be able to judge something in it to get it out. See, that's never taught neither. Paul taught it. This is a little of value that I should be judged of a human day. What he meant was that there was a group of men that judged things according to the light of this world, a human day. The light of this world. He says, I don't go by that. He says, I go by my heart. And he says, God judges me in my heart. And if my heart's free, and I don't care what you judge me. If I got a free heart, man, that's where I'm going to stay. And if there be anything in my heart that God doesn't like, He'll make sure that it's purged from my heart. He'll get rid of that thing. Why? Because I'll give Him the right to do it. Another way to release God's authority is to be willing to be judged by God. That hurts more Christians than anything else I know, when you get personally judged for your wrong. That hurts. It's not easy to take. Well, I'll never forget when God started lightening me on this, when I went to complain about my wife. I'll never forget what John said about Myrna. he'd always go to God about Myrna. And God finally said, I'm tired of you coming to me about Myrna. Here's what I'm going to tell you. As far as you're concerned, she's perfect. Right. Now let's get on with the talk here. Yep. I find you don't have a problem with your mate if God can do something with you. Why? Because God will make you the ideal mate for that person that you have a problem with. Why? Because he got rid of the problem in you. Somebody said, asked me one time, "What, Pastor, what does the Holy Ghost really sound like, my wife?" So I told them, they went, "No, I mean the Holy Ghost." And I says, "You got that one right." Now I have a daughter that follows suit. So I have two Holy Ghosts at work. Well, actually three. So the father has to have the ability to judge a man's heart freely, to clear his conscience. You know what? Some Christians, you know what they do? They'll bounce from church to church because they're too busy judging the church rather than themselves. Because God's in any church that loves God. Then why do you jump from church to church? Because the fellowship breaks down usually. Well, how do you identify the breakdown of the fellowship? Somebody else's mistakes. That's what puts a log in you. You know what a chip is? A chip is a little part of the whole log. And one way that you don't get your authority released properly when you ask and seek and knock is because you're so busy looking at everybody else's mistakes, you don't realize that their mistakes became an accumulation of their chips in your eye as a log. Right. A chip is a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, pressed into a log that's in your eye. You're so busy looking at somebody else's mistakes, you can't see your own. Guess what? How is God going to deliver you from the evil in the day there is if you're too busy looking through a log at somebody else's mistake? Hey, which one of you is so picture perfect you could stand up and declare that you're a manifestation of Jesus in the flesh because you've got complete victory? Can I see somebody do that? You better not. I'd throw my Bible at you. Because there ain't none of us perfect. There is not a perfect friend. I'm going to give you a revelation here. There's not a perfect friend. There's not a perfect marriage. There's not a perfect child. There's not a perfect church. There's not a perfect pastor. There's not a perfect employer. There's not a perfect employee. There's nothing perfect. Just wanted to let you know that before we go any further. What did he say? Okay. We'll just... Only a perfect Jesus. That's why you have to get into Jesus. Jesus makes you like Him. Too many Christians are into churches rather than Jesus. I tell some pastors, I said, the first thing I try to get across to my people is the fact they have a personal walk with God, not with the church. Pastors have got to lead people into Jesus and not their church. Did you guys get something here today? I feel sorry for the people that take the division. Oh, number three? Well, I was saving that till next Sunday. Well, I got to finish up two and three next week. The third one is that you have to actively be involved in doing the Word of God. You have to actually be involved at doing the Word of God. Did you know the Bible is very clear that if you're not a doer of the Word, you're self-deceived? Right. Well, here's the thing. You keep assimilating the knowledge of God, but you don't perform it, a deception will come over you. Why isn't it working? Well, get a clue. You got to do what you hear. Right. That's why a lot of Christians don't understand why things ain't working together for the good, because they simply go to church and audit a message, and they don't apply it in action. Yep. You got to apply it in action. You got to apply it in action. You know what they call a hypocrite? One who says and doesn't do. Well, all of us qualify for hypocrisy. Why select a few? We all guilty of that. I had God after a good sermon and said, "Boy, that was really powerful, Pastor. I mean, oh, I did love it." And I went in and I felt so good. And I said, "God, man, they really liked my sermon." God says, "Yeah, I wish you'd do what you preach." None of you have ever been there. Did you guys get something here today? Stand up, everybody. Praise God. Problem with dealing with truth is the fact that it indicts even the speaker. Praise God. Well, did you guys get something here today? Say, I got something. I got it all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first sign that you're not Christ-like is when you start bowing out. When you start bowing out of everything. Your responsibility to your friends. Your responsibility to your neighbor. Your responsibility to one another. When you start bowing out of that and finding a chip to do it, you know you're walking out of God, not into God. God is love. And that love bears all things. What does that mean? It believes all things. It hopes all things. It means that I am not mistake-free, but I got friends that can handle it. Case in point, look at my wife. I'm not mistake-free, but she can handle it. Right, Sue? Oh, yeah. Well, did you guys get something here today? Father, I thank you for the word. I'll never step into that garbage can of complacency and indifference ever again. Father, I love you so much. I'm going to stay on the cutting edge, for my life can't afford to play with the kingdom of God. I can't allow the life of God to die in me, but to continue to increase and grow. And Father, today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we want to openly say, I've never been born again. I come to visit the church this morning, and man, it was kind of a crazy place. But it touched my heart. There must be something here. And so we want to encourage you that if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus and you want to be free of this crooked and perverse world and the things that it has to offer you, oh, guess what? Jesus can free you from it and then give you back to it with an authority and a place of strength that you never dreamed possible. So that the world will no longer beat you over the head, but you have a chance to fight back. Hallelujah. So if you've never said, Jesus, I want to make you my Lord and my Savior, we want to give you that opportunity. And if you're here and you can say, Pastor, I realize that I have broken fellowship with my Lord. And I want to get back into that place of intimacy with Him. I want to communicate again. And I want to begin to take action to perform the Word on my life. I want to purge. I want to purge. And I want to press on. So I want to restore that fellowship that I once had when I came into the kingdom of God, that first love. I'm going to do something about that first love. I'm going to press in spite of myself. Kindle that fire again. Stir it up in me. Hallelujah. And if you're here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're cutting off half of your walk with God for insight and for revelation. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the greatest avenue that I know to increasing revelation or insight into the kingdom of God. And if you have a physical healing in your body and you're allowing it to have dominion, its rights and privileges in your groundwork, it's time to get it out of your groundwork. It's time to believe and trust God and let them that are elders of the church lay hands on the sick so that they would recover. Transfer that anointing and get rid of that. Hallelujah. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if it fit you, one of those areas fit you, please come forward and step up here right now. Don't hesitate. Anybody, feel free to do it. Hallelujah. Feel free to do it. Hallelujah. You know something? We always talk about physical healing in the body. Do you know that 1 Peter 2:24 really is talking about the healing of the mind? With His stripes we are healed. That's used in communion. That's talking about a mind that has been tormented and abused, and it needs healing in that area. We can also believe God
to heal you in that area. So if you want prayer even mental abuse and frustration, you want to be able to lay that thing down and move on with God, feel free to come up here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You know, I feel in my spirit, I don't know what this is, but I feel that many of you need to be up here for your fellowship. Many of you are not in fellowship with God. You have a relationship with Him, but you're not dealing with your fellowship. You need to be up here. Hallelujah. Don't play games with yourself. Deal with yourself. Well, I don't need to let anybody know me. Hey, when you confess yourself before others, then you got your Father confessing you, your Son, your brother confessing you before the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Don Rodney, one of my pastors, he had an anointing on an altar call. Remember that, Sue? And you know, one of the things he called out was fellowship. And it was really weird. I thought because I was learning things, I was in fellowship. Found out I hadn't been praying at all. Just mentally agreeing. And so I kept going to the altar for God to heal my fellowship. Finally, one day, the Lord told me, He says, well, when are you going to start talking to me? Never dawned on me, hey, God isn't the one that's going to approach you. I got to approach Him. Now, He will approach you, but God don't beg. God's very frank, very open. Anybody else? My daughter, I am going to remove the restrictions that have been put on your life and on your family. And I am going to cut the ties that seem to bind. My daughter, do you trust in this, that I can do this? Then be very, very sensitive to my voice of wisdom for your life. And I'm going to take you and your family to places that you've dreamed of that you can do, saith the Lord. For your ability is within you. Ooh, there's the Spirit right there. My daughter, I say unto thee, enough is enough for the scars that have come into your mind, the hurts that have been placed there. My daughter, let them go, and they'll never torment you again. Trust me. Trust me, for I justify. For I am the justifier, and you're my daughter, and I want you to walk in peace. Ooh, there's the anointing right there on you, sweetheart. Oh, if that anointing knocks you down, just go with it. Hallelujah. And the things that I've called you to do in the realm of prayer, my daughter, I say unto you, you can do it. For if you will get involved in those things that I first begin to speak to you, there was a zeal and a fire there. Well, I'm still there. Bring me your zeal. Bring me your fire. And I'll purge. I'll protect. I'll build up. And I'll tear down. as you release your fellowship with me in prayer. For I am the same God that was with you in the beginning of that understanding that I had with you, my darling. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. I'm still there with you. Still there with you. 100% safe. I'll release you in just a minute. Is that okay? Hallelujah. My little one, don't be concerned about direction, but just trust and rest in me. For I will give you your bread daily, and that's where your peace will be, saith the Lord. And some of the things that you've been concerned about, share them with me. Talk to me. Say them. Oh, I feel the same thing that I felt for Donna. Chris, as I've spoken to you in the beginning, I haven't changed. Let me carry it through. Rest and trust. For I am the restorer for that which the locust has consumed for your life, my daughter. For I am the restorer of what the locust has consumed. You'll have to give it up. For all that you've lost will be gained back, saith the Lord. For I am the Lord your God, and I will fulfill and bring to pass everything that I've ever told you I would do. Trust in it. Trust in it. Horishikida arotos. What you need, Zeddy? I didn't know that was already so. It's hard for me to prophesy that. For I know it's already so. Oh. Ooh. Kezena adozene. Kezena adozene. My daughter, refocus. For the thing that you focused on is complete in me. For the kingdom of heaven would say to you, it's already done. It's already have been done. Stand fast and refocus for your anointing, saith the Lord. Ooh. Ho ho tazane. Tazane. Egese, egese, egese. Increase. Increase in your fellowship, and many chains will fall off. Increase the fellowship, many chains will fall off. Yes, a gohana ejete, as a gohana ejete, as a gohana, pray, pray. I commit to you an area of prayer. Begin to intercede, begin to pray, saith the Lord. Urro koshenda de la bonda de je, edesenge, edesenge, edesoho, edesenge, edesoho. Okineshe, reasonings do not have their place when it speaks against the knowledge of God. Rise up big and pull down them reasonings that have built its force, and you'll come out and breathe fresh air again, saith the Lord. Gemahaje, 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 Gote skola hande, Ejese ke ana modanjgehe. There are some things that I've permitted for the benefit of making change in your life, saith the Lord. But it's for the better and not for the worse. Never regret the steps that you've taken recently. Never regret that, saith the Lord. For I'm leading you and guiding you into more light and more truth so that you'll never be taken advantage of ever, ever, ever again. Damagojene. Yes, it's over. It's over. Hallelujah. My wisdom will bring a freedom that you've never experienced before. For that is my last will and testament for my people's lives, saith the Lord. Urri kishenda. Edeskohona halagledzono. Egedasa. Had a spirit of prophecy come on me this morning. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people that have come forward. And Father, as they are released, may they go into the highways and byways and have victory this week by performing what they do know in Jesus' name. And everybody said, you're dismissed. Praise God. Horishkehana. Horishkehana de Diata. Praise God. If you want to come up and pray.